Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The text that we study at this time contains one of the sweetest, warmest, most wonderful phrases found in all the scriptures. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Genesis 13, verses 1 through 9. This statement of Abraham, for we be brethren, that's the subject of our lesson. At a time when both Abraham and Lot were wealthy with great herds, the land was not able to provide all the water and the grass that was necessary. Strife arose between the herdsmen of each man, and the wise Abram realized that such strife could eventually reach serious proportions and even come between himself and his nephew. That had to be stopped. More than anything else, Abraham wanted no strife between himself and his nephew because they were brethren. That was reason enough for him to take whatever measures that had to be taken to preserve their brotherliness. That was more important to him than his personal ambitions or his desires. Next to being right with God, Abram wanted to be right with his brethren. Now, we want to give recognition to this great spiritual brotherhood that's found in Christ. And just as the brotherhood between Abram and Lot was precious and important to Abram, so this brotherhood in Christ is precious and important to the true New Testament Christian now. In our study, we want to discover the meaning of being brethren in Christ and see what is involved and expected of us in this relationship. And when we speak of Christians, we're not doing so as the world so often speaks of Christians, including so many who've never even obeyed the gospel of Christ. Christians are those who have heard the word, believed in Christ, repented of their sins, and been baptized into Christ, and are living a faithful life before God according to the will of God. Unfortunately, everything today that is called a Christian is not Christian according to the Bible. Now, the closeness of this brotherhood is presented to us when we consider ourselves as the family of God. The thoughts of family generally strike a warm and responsive chord in our hearts. Certainly, this is true of those who've been so blessed to have a loving family. The family belongs to God. He is the Father. We are His children. Now, physically speaking, all people are children of God, inasmuch as we've all come from the same first parents, Adam and Eve. But the family that we're considering is the spiritual family of God, that is, those that belong to Him through Christ. God is the Father of the obedient. Peter refers to brethren as a spiritual house, 1 Peter 2:5. Paul notes, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8 and verse 14. It is the church that is the house of God or the family of God, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. Abraham and Lot were of the same family and were brethren. And as family members, they realize the inconsistency of strife between them. It is even so with us. Strife has no place in God's family, and we should work so that such will not exist. Now, being brethren means that we are united, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:26-28. Again, Paul wrote, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." 1 Corinthians 12:26-27. Paul admonished in Romans 12:6, "Be of the same mind one toward the other." Again, the emphasis on unity. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, friend, this demands unity with each other. We have fellowship one with the other, as did the early Christians, Acts 2:42. The strong denunciations against division, the equally strong admonitions to unity, they all point out that brethren are united with each other. Together we hold up each other's hands in doing the will of the Lord, helping each other get to heaven. Christ prayed that those who believed on him would be one, John 17:20-21. And even though we're permitted to hold different opinions in matters of human judgment, we are expected to stand as one man in the revealed truth of God. Regarding his will, friend, there is no place for variance. We must be considerate of each other, and each try to be learning as best we can, but we're to stand together in the matters of "Thus saith the Lord." That is the distinctive mark of the brotherhood in Christ. But division has been and continues to be a serious problem. It's a drain on the energies and the opportunities for the church. Paul pronounced accursed those who taught false doctrines that divided brethren. To disrupt the peace and the harmony of brethren over human opinions, that's unjustified. The demand to have it my way, that's not Christ-like in spirit. But we are to mark those that cause divisions contrary to the doctrine, Romans 16:17. We must always remember that the troublers in the brotherhood are not those who stand against the inroads of innovations and digressions and apostasies, but those who are determined to mold the brotherhood after their unbiblical aspirations and precepts. They are the cause of division. And as hideous as division is, and as damaging to the church as it has proven to be, there is something worse. To seek peace at the sacrifice of truth is worse than division. When we would seek peace at that price, we totally leave the authority of God and prefer the fellowship of men, even if it costs us our fellowship with God. Error in the brotherhood must be combated. It must be routed out. Truth cannot be compromised. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, Psalm 133:1. But we can have unity in error as well as unity in truth. Friend, truth is not ours to compromise or sacrifice, even for the peace with brethren. It is not brotherly to fail to stand against false brethren. Nor is it brotherly to fail to stand with those who teach and promote the truth. Christ gives no license to any brother to cause division and strife or selfish gains. But Christ demands that brethren walk according to the truth. The only way to be free from division is for brethren to stand together in that which God has revealed. and not press other matters to the point of rupturing the brotherhood. Brethren can have a kinship that is closer than physical kinship. Jesus showed this plainly in Matthew 12. And while he yet talked to the people, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto those that told him, Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now, friend, Jesus meant no disrespect, nor did he show an unwillingness to acknowledge his kin. He was stressing that spiritual kinship even surpasses that of physical kinship. To be brethren means that we're concerned both for the physical and the spiritual welfare of each other. In the early church, brethren sold possessions in order to provide for those who had need, Acts 4, 34 and 35. Now, this was not a mandatory but a voluntary expression of love toward each other. We are a brotherhood of benevolent activity. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. Paul said, Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, Philippians 2 and verse 4. This simply shows a mutual interest in the welfare of each other. No, it's not a nosy, busybody type of meddling, but a caring and a concern for brethren. 1 John 3:17, But whoso hath the world's goods, and beholdeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? Because we are brethren, we will deny ourselves in order to help one another. Wherefore, if meat causeth my brother to stumble, I will eat no flesh forevermore, and cause not my brother to stumble. We are concerned for one another, for we be brethren. And even when brethren fall, we will still be willing and ready to help him be restored. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And even when we must withdraw from a brother, we will not count him as an enemy, but a fallen brother, 2 Thessalonians 3:15. And when we help our brothers, we're helping Christ, Matthew 24:40. Inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these my brethren, even the least, ye did it unto me. Now, being brethren means that we will be as tolerant and as patient toward one another and as forgiving toward one another as we can. We read, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Paul wrote, Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4, 32. Of course, there can be no forgiveness when there is no desire for forgiveness. The one who sins must repent. But brethren should always have that willingness of heart and that desire to forgive when sinned against, so that the offender will repent and be forgiven. This would eliminate backbiting and backstabbing, undermining character. It would erase the slander, the gossip, the vengeful actions one against the other. It will allow bygones to be bygones. That's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness would demand kind treatment toward anyone who may have offended in order to point out their sins. Grudge holders, oh, they suffer. They will lose their souls because God will forgive as we forgive others. Matthew 6 says, "Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." If forgiveness is not Christ-like, dear friend, what would be? He came to forgive us of our sins. Should we not forgive our brethren who wish to be forgiven? And we could summarize the meaning of brotherhood by saying it simply means to love one another. Paul praised the Christians in Colossae for the love which he have toward all the saints, Colossians 1 and verse 14. And he used the word brethren repeatedly in his epistles, and with such tenderness and such affection. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved." Philippians 4 and verse 1. So let us give reverence and respect to the words of inspiration. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen cannot love God whom he hath not seen. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. The Hebrew writer said, "Let brotherly love continue." It is into this brotherhood that all who are out of Christ are invited to enter. Christians are forgiven by the blood of Christ upon being baptized into Christ, and we're added by God to His family, which is the church. And then we will treat one another in a Christ-like fashion, for we be brethren. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.